So Emre, should we start with you?
All right. Maybe we can start off with a bit of your background in terms of how this whole entrepreneurship sort of road started. You know, your personal background in terms of work, EZCO, Yemek Sepeti, everything in Istanbul, sort of how you and then ended up in Berlin. Maybe give us a bit of an overview of that.
Sure. So I think my starting point was very unpredictable. So I was a cable guy.
I think you need to check.
Is it better now? Okay. So I have an unpredictable background. So for you here who doesn't know me, so I was a cable guy. I used to sell cables overseas. So after the military task, I decided to join Yemek Sepeti. Don't ask me why did they hire me. I have no idea why did they hire me. So I started.
So you started in sales, right? Like business development?
Yeah, exactly. So I was basically exporting cables. So then joined Yemek Sepeti with the title of business development executive, whatever that means. So basically taking the projects are in the gray zone and leading them.
When was this? Like how big was Yemek Sepeti at the time, do you think?
900 people around. So just before the General Atlantic investment happened. The first task was assigned to me was building a wallet solution. So basically, we wanted to build a solution, compete against Multinet. Mm-hmm. However, while building the solution, while exploring the solution, while scoping out how the solution could look like, we understood there's a regulation in the market that is this basically outlying all the fintech initiatives. We understood while working on the wallet solution, we can introduce online payment acceptance. So in that moment, 2012, online payment was still very new, and the motto of Yemek Sepeti, credit cards bizi ilgilendirmiyor. It doesn't matter if you are going to use credit card or not. So we don't need that. So it was all about carton delivery or cash. So anyways, that is how I ended up being a part of payment ecosystem. I built up the payment acceptance from scratch, so that helped me to learn end to end from processing payment, reconciling payment, preventing the fraud. So it was a bit of interesting journey. Then I decided to be an expert in the domain and joined BKM, the interbank in Turkey, the local MasterCard. So the corporate life was a bit tough. So it wasn't that exciting for me at that moment. And I spent 10 months, so then joined EZCO. So I was working with Barbaros directly and was also quite exposed to this entrepreneurial journey.
They were not that far along at the time, if I remember, right?
It was still a startup, right? It was still a small team, so yeah. Very small. So I think it was very fun times. So I joined as product and business development. I mean, in the startup, title doesn't mean anything, right? So you need to be a Swiss Army knife. So whatever the task is assigned to you, you need to drive it. I was mainly responsible for many things. So whatever needs to be done. And one of them was very interesting when the sanctions were lifted in Iran. So I went to Iran, in Tehran, I built a company for EZCO. And that was the one of the milestones in the history and for EZCO. And that is the moment I realized, yeah, it is tough to be an entrepreneur, but doable. Because basically, I went to a country using different alphabet. And a couple of times I got lost and I had no idea where I was. Because I couldn't read around what is written there. So that encouraged me. So if I could build a business in Iran for a company that is not mine, I can build a company for myself as well. So that was the moment I decided, okay, I'm going to build my company.
How long did you spend in Iran?
I think in total 6 months. The challenge though in Iran, so they have the weekends, Thursday, Friday. We have the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. So basically 3 days overlapping. And for me, 2 months in a row, so I didn't have any weekends. It was an interesting journey. So then after spending some time at EZCO and then seeing the from early stage startup to scale up, so and still I wanted to be an expert in the payments domain, so I decided to extend this towards international. So, and at that time, I get an opportunity at Delivery Hero, and that's how I came Berlin 2017, become a part of the company, so, and become a part of the payments team. And at that time, we were four people only. So imagine DH has 50,000 people, four people responsible for payments all over the world, seven countries. So it was, again, a startup journey for us, because even though DH, I mean, huge, massive company, right? So, but the way it is being operated, still with the startup mindset. So because the company acquired different startups, they had to maintain the culture of startup. So, and everybody in the company should act as a startup partner.
I remember, because at the time, Delivery Hero, as you said, was kind of a very acquisitive company. There's this consolidation going on, which meant you had a lot of different companies that you integrated, both from a culture perspective, but also from probably an infrastructure perspective as well, right?
Definitely. And that is the moment. So we saw the opportunity. That is the moment we decided to build PayRaise. So because outside, it sounds quite sexy. Oh, this company is quite big, acquiring all over the startups all over the world, right? So it kind of demonstrate the power of the company, and for people who doesn't know the chaos inside, so it is quite interesting. But as you said, we need to consolidate all the technology, the human resource, marketing, sales efforts, because you need to reduce the overall cost base. One of them was payments. So okay, how could we build a global platform, kind of global Easyco, so for Easyco for pay for Delivery Hero? That is the moment that we went through the old struggle. So payments is a hyper local business. Payments is driven by compliance regulation. Payments is touching the user experience. So payments is not only giving your credit card number, it's beyond accepting card for your user. So there are multiple money movements you need to streamline. And we realize that there is no solution out there can cover the requirements of enterprises. So when...
How maybe a question over here is, how did you do this at Delivery Hero?
We were 20 people, and we had a problem. And the usual way of solving the problem was acquisition. So the management told us, okay, so let's find out so who can potentially a player that we can buy or partner up. We couldn't find. There were companies, there were players strong enough. So today I'm competing against. They were strong enough, but they were only solving the visible part of the iceberg. Still the invisible part, which is the 80%. So still, we had to build something in-house. And at that time, you were 20 people. Some of them are here. So at that time, we were 20 people. And the moment I left DH, I remember on Slack, we precise 299 people. So that is how we built the solution. So with the manpower. So with the resources that we hired.
Got it. Maybe then we can segue a little bit into what you guys do. So what's the problem in terms of these sort of multinational payments and how it's operated, and what you saw at Delivery Hero that you're trying to solve at PayRails today. So what do you guys do in a nutshell?
Yeah, so DH is a very local business. So basically every entity, in every country we had a local entity, and everything is localized. All the functions, finance, marketing, sales, and payment also has to be local. That means you need to integrate local providers. One, the integration efforts that you need to take into account. Second, regulation. So DH is a marketplace. So in some countries, you cannot directly touch the funds. You cannot control them. So you need to have a player in between who would manage the collection and the disbursement of the funds between the parties. Third, so it's a consumer-driven business. You need to satisfy the consumer needs every day. So therefore, you need to build different use cases, BNPL. You need to introduce a BNPL solution. So you need to introduce a wallet solution for their refunds. So it wasn't only card payments for DH. Integrations, compliance, regulation, and user satisfaction. And overall, it's bringing you a huge complexity that you need to solve across all of the functions. Therefore, you need a layer which abstracts all these problems that you can control in parallel.
Got it. And then maybe going into PayRails, how do you do that sort of today? So what are you abstracting? Are you integrated into? So how many countries are there? How many different services are you guys integrated into? How does the product work in a way?
So the main value proposition and the initial part of the discussion with the client We abstract your payments. Mm. So while you focus on your core business, we abstract the payments for you. What I'm always saying, payments easy. So it is basically a source and a destination. If I may say in Turkish, para çökemel. Right, so it's very simple. So you need you need a source here, you need a destination, and the value needs to be transferred. Simple. But e-commerce is evolving. So while e-commerce is evolving, the indispensable part, payments, needs to also adapt that. So you need to introduce different flows. And that is the part the companies are struggling. So they always try to find short-term solutions to adapt this payment part. Couldn't abstract, and always there's a legacy that you need to spill over. Always, always. Always. Then at some point, blow up. So we abstract these payments, kind of acting a mini service for them, streamlining every single integration and every single money movements, irrespective of the integration that they use.
Yeah, that's quite a core infrastructure that you guys need to implement then, right?
Exactly. So the way that we position ourselves, so we are kind of AVS for payments. So you basically plug PayRace in, and you got the full solution. So infrastructure and the theme and experience.
And then in order to provide that, especially like considering payments is such a fragmented space, as you said, across different geographies and different sort of capabilities, you guys need to be integrated then into a whole lot of providers across both geographies, functions, probably, right?
That is true. That is yes and no. So I think we have an unfair advantage in the market. So we were on the other side of the table. So without having 100 integrations, I can advise with 10 integrations to meet the same results. So because there is a practical experience there, so which actually makes us strong in the industry.
Got it.
But still, we need to integrate this 10 integrations.
Yeah. Yes. And then you need to probably do a bit of consulting on your end as well for some of these enterprise customers.
I don't like the word of consultancy. I hate it. So because it's super reactive. So instead, driving the value for the client sounds to me driving value for myself. So even in the client conversation, in the very beginning, I make it very clear, I'm part of your company. So it's not consultancy. I'm taking over the accountability here. And this is what you need to do.
Nice. Okay. Just to give you give us a bit of an overview in terms of PayRails and what the current status is. You know, how many countries are you guys in? What's the sort of the current stage? Number of customers, revenues, what kind of info can you give?
Today is a happy day. So yesterday was a bad day. Tomorrow I don't know what's gonna happen. So it has been 2 years. We raised seed investment round in two stages. So we had a really strong cap table. So Andreessen, General Catalyst, EQT, HV Capital. We have a team of almost 45 people, Berlin and Egypt. We have a team also in Egypt now.
How come? Why in Egypt?
So, I mean, in Berlin, there's a limited talent source. Mm. And when you hire persons, you need to wait at least 3 or 4 months. And imagine we are 2 years old, waiting 3 months, basically 13-15% of the entire life cycle of PayRace. So we need more agility, more speed there. So to have the balance between roadmap, product roadmap, sales roadmap, and then the HR roadmap. So we look into different countries. Egypt by far the best for us. Mm. The criteria is English speaking, talent pool in fintech, and the culture.
Mm. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so we have large enterprise clients because what we are solving doesn't make sense for SMEs. So if you're an SME, you integrate Stripe and you will be quite happy or at the end. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're enterprise, indeed you are exposed to huge complexity and you need a solution like PayRace. So yeah, we are growing. So the product is getting much mature. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just selling dream, also some reality there. in the beginning, it was only a dream, but now it is much more materialized product. Yeah.
And like in terms of the geographies that you're serving, is it mainly, you know, since most of the customers are quite global, do you need to solve their problems across geographies, which means you also get to have both the team or customers from different geographies, or are you more focused on, you know, Europe or Germany or UK? Or
so what did we do? First of all, we didn't focus on US because US has a different playbook you need to play. APAC, we didn't go after because APAC, it's not really keen to get a premium service. So they rather do the things in-house. We primarily focus on Europe. And side, let's say, target market, MENA. We have some clients. We are also solving their problem in North America, South America. But the client based out of Europe.
Got it. Okay. Nice. So you mentioned also as well that, you know, you raised a quite a good seed, which I think even the markets at that time was a very strong seed indeed. And then how long ago did you raise the following round? The following round was
4 months ago.
4 months ago, right? And that was also quite sizable and with reputable names as well. So what do you think, what's the sort of the quote-unquote secret sauce that enabled you to get some of these both like at the pre-seed level, some of these really reputable names on board, and then follow on with you know, much more reputable names as well? Like, is it more that maybe at the sort of the latest round, you guys had maybe some traction, good revenues, maybe that sort of prompted them? But you know beforehand, as I know very well, because we were trying to invest in you guys, and then you guys had a lot of term sheets from really, really good names, right, back at the time. So what do you think sort of made the difference there?
I think the first one, indeed, the team and the story. So second one, again, team and the story was still the biggest part of the influence. But of course, attraction was also there. Mm-hmm. So I would never forget the moment we signed the term sheet because we were having Raka. I think again, so the moment we signed the term sheet, we understood that investors were still impressed by the theme and the story, mainly. Because the traction was there, but not like we weren't in the stage of 20 million ARR.
So the story is that makes it interesting is because it's a quite a global and... what I would say is a very sort of large market, probably, right, at the enterprise level, solving a critical problem. Okay, makes sense. So in terms of the sort of the, maybe on the other side, the bottlenecks that you guys are facing, what's the biggest, you know?
Hiring.
Hiring?
Yeah, hiring, selling. And of course, collectively, building. So, I mean, three dimensions, right? But the most critical is the hiring.
How much did you raise, like, in the last round?
In total,
$20
million. Dollar. So the last round was $14 million.
Yeah.
So, but we were lucky from the hiring point of view. So most of the people that we used to work together at Delivery Hero also wanted to join. So I think that was the advantage. Again, we built a nice culture there as a management team of the fintech. So they followed.
Yeah, you had a good relations with the team.
I think so. Back into your question about the investors, right? So there was also a good relationship we built with these investors.
You knew most of them from beforehand, as I remember, right?
Yeah. So EQ to General Catalyst. So we had the conversation with them in the first round. So, but even right after, we kept a nice relationship with. We didn't become cocky that we raised money from Andreessen Horowitz. So we were still humble. So and then had started building the solution and selling it.
Got it. Okay. Maybe just to sort of close this off, what's the plan with, you know, what are you guys planning over the next, let's say, 12 to 18 months? What's a good story, you know, that you guys will have from your perspective? What will be positive in 18 months for you guys?
I mean, so many things. So from the product point of view, indeed, a couple of big bets. Now we are planning to double down. So data would be one of them. Offline payment, another part. From the sales point of view, in a couple of weeks, we are going to close very big names, which will also encourage us a bit more. But from the sales point of view, the main target is next year becoming, at least next, towards the end of next year, becoming profitable. So because we are a burning business, so we have around 45 people. So we want to become profitable and it's doable. And product, I think two of them. So product and the sales. These 18 months.
Everyone's focusing more on profitability nowadays, right?
Yeah, definitely. So which is fair, right? So.
All right. Thanks, Emre. Anything else you want to note, like in terms of both hiring for like potential hires over here as well? Your ex team, maybe.
I mean, yeah, indeed. So if we can be a nice place for any good person here, so I would be more than happy to have a chat. So I mean, last thing I can say, which I said in the beginning, so in the interest, it's a roller coaster. It's an emotional roller coaster. That's why I was telling you yesterday, it was a bad day. Today it was an amazing day. So tomorrow I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, man.
To stay in the loop, go to our website, getcc.com, or follow us at GetCC'd on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube.